Ralph's been a mentor of mine for about 40 years. We've known each other that long. And so it was, I can't believe it's been 40 years. And I didn't know what yoga was until I have experienced that. And I tell you what, it was a whole lot more than I thought it was. And I was on a weekly routine with it, and I haven't been able to do it for the last couple of weeks because of a knee problem. But hopefully get back in it soon. So you guys just come on up, and God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. My Lone Ranger up here, Ralph. I don't really, yeah. So, oh, this is weird. Farther away, closer, right here. I've never done this before. This is like all new for me. How's everybody doing?
Good.
Good? Good. I'm insanely nervous, but I'm also really happy to be here. Super grateful to get to talk to all of you and share my personal experience with yoga and meditation. So I wanted to start out, just if I could ask you to close your eyes and just kind of sit comfortably in your own chair. And I just want everybody to take a deep breath. Just breathe in and just breathe out. Yeah, take another deep breath in and let it go. One more, just breathe in. And let it go. Good. And open your eyes. You guys feel better? I feel better. So, really, I just want to talk about how I got started with all of this. And I could sit here and say that I never thought I would end up doing anything like this, but that would be untrue. I think probably my whole life I felt deep, deep down that I would end up doing something deeply spiritual, something that had to do with connection. So just to talk about how I got into yoga, it's not so much what led me to yoga, but who led me to yoga, which she's not here, but my friend Lauren, most of you know her, she sings on Sunday. She has a wonderful family, but it was after she had Willow and she was taking yoga classes. She said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Like, I feel so good. This has been so good for me. You should come and try it. And I had all these excuses. You know, I didn't see myself at the time as being a healthy person, much less a positive person. So, you know, Ralph and I were talking today, just excuse after excuse, like, I'm just not going to do it. And I avoided it for so long. And then finally I was like, you know what, I'm just going to go. I'm going to do it. So my friend Caitlin and I, we went. And I remember we were so nervous. Like, it's silly to think about it now, but we were terrified. Which I hear a lot of now. I'm so scared to go. But we went, and it was great. We loved it. I went home. I told David, I was like, I haven't felt this way in so long. Like, something ignited in me that I did not want to put out. And it was crazy. So what happened is there was a gentle kind of push to go and do teacher training, which, you know, for David and I at the time was a big financial commitment, but the decision wasn't hard. It was like I very quickly knew this is the path I'm taking. It's going to be good. Made the decision really fast, with a lot of support, a lot of love, a lot of positivity, and I really haven't looked back since. And kind of emotional today because our studio opens on Friday, which is like insane that this is happening. It's amazing. So yeah, it was good. But yeah, I started going to teacher training in Gainesville. I did that for a year and a half, and I would drive up on a Saturday, and it was from 8 to 5. And it was really scary for me. I didn't know anybody there. I'd never done anything like this, so it was a growing experience all the way around. And I initially, a lot of the aspects of yoga came naturally to me. You know, I used to be a dancer, so the flexibility was there. I learned the breathwork technique pretty quickly. I was able to remember poses, names of poses, sequences really easily, but then there were other aspects of yoga that did not come so naturally, meditation being one of those things. And honestly, it was probably 4 months into my training until I even warmed up to the idea of meditation. I had no clue. And I told Ralph today, and for all of you to know, it's crazy that we're speaking together tonight, because right around the time that I started my training, Ralph started his positive thinking classes here, which I think it was the first installment. So it was the first time that I and a lot of us had ever heard this stuff before. It was very new to me, and Ralph is a huge, huge reason what he taught during those classes of what opened me up to meditation. So thank you again for that. And it was amazing. But it still took me a little while. It was really intimidating. I was really scared. I had a lot of fear because I didn't know anything about it. You know, this is foreign to me. I'd never heard of it. I'd never done it. I started, you know, being in, teacher training. It was part of what we had to learn. And it was, you know, on our syllabus. And we had books that we read and articles and all this stuff. And going through it, it was like the more educated I was becoming about it, and, you know, coming to your classes on Wednesdays, it's like I got back to this point where I was like, oh, I'm a spiritual being having a human experience. And, you know, and I knew it the whole time, and it was just getting back to it, this understanding. And so this whole time there had been this disconnect. You know, it's like I saw myself here, and then I saw meditation over here. It's like something I'll get to one day, right? And then realizing again, no, I'm a spiritual being, and meditation's not just something I do, it's a part of who I am. Good. Thank you. And that was a big turning point for me. But it's still, you know, it didn't come easily, and I think now I see it as a tool. It's an ability that I have that God's given me. I see it like prayer, journaling, singing, playing an instrument, being in nature, having a good cry or a good laugh. It's just all these different ways that we have to feel and see and hear God in our lives. And that's just one more thing on my list. And it's an amazing thing that I have. But it did take time for me to get there. And I remember at the start of this journey for me, there were a lot of judgments I had about yoga and meditation and myself. And, you know, I had a lot of bad habits when I started my teacher training, and some of them have been really hard to kick, but they weren't all physical. There were a lot of negative thought patterns that had to be broken. And it was, you know, it took some time, and there were moments that I seriously stood in that classroom. I remember vividly just thinking, why am I even taking yoga, much less trying to teach it to other people? This is crazy. Like, what am I doing here? But my mentor and my teacher at the time, she was amazing. Being able to come to Ralph's classes at the time made a huge impact. And I started getting back to this place where I knew I had to change my thinking. I had to change. Something had to change. If I was going to move forward at all, I had to change the way I was seeing things. I had to change the things I was looking for. And as I did that, this shift happened. And I started to realign myself with good and positive things. And then through that, I started to loosen my grip on my need to carry around blame, shame, criticism, negativity, just all this weight, emotional baggage. And it was, you know, going through all of that, going through this training, coming to Ralph's classes, all of this happening at the same time was like, I noticed that I was peeling back the next layer of my experience with yoga. But essentially, I mean, over all of it, I was just diving deeper spiritually. And it was awesome. It was a year and a half of my life, and it was intense, and it was beautiful, and it was full. It was difficult. It was really hard at times, but it was transformative. And there are moments from it that I'll never forget. I remember my breakthrough moment with meditation. We had to take every session that we had, we did 2.5 to 3 hours of yoga. not easy for my students in the room. They're like, yeah, no, thank you. So we had to do that, and it was the hardest class, I think, that she taught the entire time. And by the end of it, I was so exhausted physically, mentally drained, emotionally drained. I remember taking the class, and throughout, things were coming up. Things from, like, weeks ago, months ago. I was like, oh, my God, I'm still carrying that around. I'm still holding on to that. Wow, like, now I see. And so by the end of it, if you've never taken a class, usually the teacher has you lay down or they have you sit, tell you to close your eyes, just relax, try to get in tune with your breath, start to move inward, all this stuff. So I'm laying there. I'm drenched in sweat. I'm so tired. And I just remember that I started to feel my heart beating just steadily in my chest, like I was noticing it. And then I started to feel my breath filling up my lungs and filling up my belly, and I felt my breath in the back of my throat, and my eyes were closed, but I felt the sunlight coming in through her windows. And I remember the smells in the room, and I just remember just total peace. It was amazing, so amazing. And I felt so loved, and I felt so accepted. It was awesome. I felt amazing. I really did. And I always want to feel that way. And it doesn't just happen in a yoga studio on a yoga mat. It can happen anywhere. But really for me, I remember driving home that day, and I was thinking, like, oh my God, I did it. Like, I meditated right, you know, and that's not really it. That's not the point. What I know happened now is that I let go of my need to make my experience look the way I thought it should, to make it feel the way that I thought it should feel. I just let it go, and I just let it happen. I just let myself be there. And my letting go of my need for my mental chatter to exist, to listen to all that chaos, when that stopped, God's voice came in so loudly in the most beautiful affirmations. Like, just things like, you're worthy, and you're okay, and you're doing good, and I'll just never forget it. So really for me, that was like the turning point. And now, the more exposure I have to teaching people, I see that happen with people all the time. I see people letting go of this weight, and I see people letting go of negativity, and I see people finding a deeper connection, you know, with God and within themselves. That's really what you're connecting to. And it's just... It is. It's a tool. It's just an opportunity to be quiet, just to sit still, be quiet, set time aside. And when you start to tune in to your voice or yourself, because we are God, you are God, and I am God, the voice that you're hearing is His. And it's just, I love it. You know, it's really changed my life. And the more that I practice it, the more I realize that yoga is about, you know, it's about connection, it's about unity. It's not just what takes place in a yoga studio on a yoga mat. It's not just a couple of rounds of down dog. It's not just a couple of physical poses. It can take place anywhere. And the more that I do this, I realize it's not just something I'm doing, it's part of who I am. And, you know, for David, playing music is a way that I know he deeply connects with God. You know, for Bjorn, it's fishing with Jet, and Jet saying these crazy, awesome things, just being this little kid, and it's a way that Bjorn deeply connects with God. Frances being in her Zen garden, it's a way that she deeply connects with God. So it happens everywhere, anywhere, and it looks different depending on the person. But it's just about an openness, I think. It's about a willingness to let go of our need to do something. You know, we run around like constantly, just this need to be busy, this need to stay tied up. And it's when you take time and you set it aside, it's really just being obedient. It's really just saying, like, okay, here I am. It is what it is. You know, what is it that I need to hear? I'm willing to listen. I'm willing to set aside all of my to-do list. I'm willing to set aside all of my chaos, all of my busyness, all of my chatter. You're here to speak to me. There's a quote. First time I ever heard it was at one of my sessions in Gainesville, and now I see it written everywhere, of course. But it says that prayer is our time to talk to God, and meditation is our time to be still and be quiet and listen to what God has to say back to us. And it's so true. It's so true. It can be 5 minutes. It can be 50 minutes. It doesn't matter. If you're willing to sit back and just listen and be quiet, then you do find calm, and you do find peace, and you do find this overwhelming sense of being loved, being accepted, being okay, being safe. And just time and time again, like as I come back to my practice, that's just what I find. And it's, you know, yoga is, it's really shown me my own potential, and I see it over and over again show other people their potential. And once you start figuring out your potential, life just really only gets better from there. So that's it. That's what I got.
Okay, we're on now. Let's everybody give Mary a clap. That is great. And she made, I mean, I counted 8 gold nuggets, she said there. It ain't about being in unity, it's about being connected. Being connected is above unity. You can be in unity and not be connected. Unity won't last. The only way unity will stand is to be connected. And I'm so proud of Mary. Mary, you did such a great job. I told Mary today, if every client I had would take her before they come see me, it would make me my job so much more easier. I'm glad Buren's, Pastor Buren, said what he did about yoga, because I'm like Buren. I'm from the same school Buren is. We were in school together, spiritual school. And the first time I had yoga is when they put it in Golden Corral. That's all I know about yoga. Go there and get the yoga bar. Yeah, I like yoga. Yeah, I like it. But when I began to, when there was a change inside of me, and that's what Mary's talking about. See, David said this, and so did his son Solomon said it. So Solomon picked up what David said, and they both said it. When you be quiet, you will be still, and then you'll know. Now notice this phrase. You got to be quiet to be still. Then you'll know. If you don't know, it's because you ain't been quiet. Because you ain't been still. So you got to be quiet, still. Then you'll know the voice of God. And when I went through my metamorphosis, when I went through my intellectual changing, and everything changed about me after we lost Toby 11 years ago. And I know, boy, the story again, but when I found out God wasn't who I thought he was, that devastated me. So to Susan, because at that time, 35 years, I knew who God was. He was a he. Wasn't he it? He's a he. After all, the Bible says he, him, his. And I learned in school, one thing they did teach us in school, personal pronouns. And the personal pronoun of he, him, his is a male figure. So I made God a male figure. And he was a he. So when I heard that day, my really first encounter with meditation, and this is what I heard, first time I was quiet. I wasn't quiet 4 months after Toby died. I hadn't been quiet for 35 years. I hadn't been quiet at that time for 55 years. I've always talked. In school, wherever I was, I had to talk. And you couldn't talk without using my hands. That's just my temperament. I've never been still. I've never been quiet. I always knew. Oh, I know that. You ever had anybody tell you that? How many of you have ever said, somebody tried to tell you something? Oh, I know that. I was telling Buren yesterday, do you know that's the first sign of a Pharisee? Because you got to go in the Bible, there's a thing called law of first mention. You go to the first time it's mentioned, and that's the meaning it carries throughout the whole Bible. First time Pharisee is used in the Bible is Nicodemus. And the first thing out of Nicodemus' mouth to Jesus was, Master, we know. He ain't said nothing yet. Master, we know. Know what? We know. And see, that's like all of us. We know. Based on how we've been conditioned to think. Based on how we've been trained to think. See, who conditioned us? Who trained us to think? As the theme this year is being. Not doing, being. But I got to do. I was raised in the school of doing. Doing. You got to do. After all, God can't bless you if you don't do nothing. You got to do something for God to do something. God won't move till you move. That could be nothing. That is about as truth as saying I got yogurt at the Golden Corral bar. Nothing could be no further from the truth than that. You got to be. You got to be. Then do, because if you be first, then do. Because if you be, once you be, you will do. You just don't have to redo. But if you do without becoming first, you're going to constantly be redoing. Redoing and redoing and redoing. So I had some papers. Did everybody get a piece of paper here? I'm so thankful for Mary. I really am. And I'm so proud of Mary. And I want to ask all of you, if you have not signed up to come to her class, sign up. And then when she gets through with you, she's going to send you to me or to Joey. Now you're ready for Joey and me when you go through her class. I don't need to meditate. Being quiet. Before I ever started coaching, when I gave up my pastoral ministry for 35 years, and I wanted to be a coach, I remember people said, coach, baseball, basketball, whatever pays. You know, that's what I said. I didn't know nothing about coaching. And then, but I knew in my spirit that I had to be quiet. I didn't know how much I thought I knew everything. Because many times people have labeled me as Mr. Bible. I remember Scott Webster with Bill Hammond at the time. You remember Scott Webster. Scott Webster called me one time a Bible button. Get around Ralph, just push him. Out comes all these scriptures. Out comes all these scriptures. I knew. I took great pride in knowing. I knew it. But I didn't know. Like I said, I thought the yogurt was at the Golden Corral, at the food bar. That's about as deep as I went with it. Because it never was conditioned to think that way. Buren and I from a school that if you ever got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you ever spoke in tongues, you have arrived. You got it. When in doubt, speak in tongues. When you don't know what to do, speak in tongues. When you don't know which way to go, speak in tongues. And that's all we was, speaking in unknown tongues, unknown to God and man. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So I started being quiet. So I went out before I ever began coaching, and I hired me a meditational coach named Vadim Clemente. I wish Vadim was as nice as Mary. I wish he looked as good as Mary. Vadim had been rode hard and put up wet. And he learned all of his meditation in Eastern religion. And I had a problem with that. My first question is, do you believe in Jesus? And he really blew my mind. He says, that's like asking me, do I believe in myself? Do what? Come on, Nicodemus, I thought you knew. I didn't know there was over 300 different kinds of meditations. So I hired him for 6 months. He came to my house every week for 6 months. He didn't even want to meet in my office, my new office I just built. He wanted to meet outside in Francis Zen Garden. And we met out there, and he put on music And he would just sit there. He said, don't move, Ralph. Just be quiet. My mind. I didn't know how to be quiet. I didn't know how to be quiet. And for the first time I went quiet, I went to sleep. And I said, I apologize, man. I didn't mean to doze off on you. He said, that's your body telling you you need rest. Don't fight it. Go with it. You got to understand that you are the temple of God. You're the temple of the Spirit. It knows its temple. So he began to restructure the way I think. He began to restructure the way I looked at things. He began to change the molecular structure of my internal mind, thinking. Because I was geared, I know. Everything I took pride that I knew, instead of working for me, is now working against me. Because in actuality, I didn't know. I thought I knew. But I was a Pharisee. So he began to show me how to be quiet, how to meditate. Then he began to teach me things that in the Eastern world. And I remember he asked me one time, he said, it's amazing that in the Eastern world, in the Eastern religion, you will never hear them judging or question Western religion. But everybody in the Western religion question and judge Eastern religion. Now, from your religion, which way do you think that's the best? Yeah, but do you know Jesus? I am Jesus. You are Jesus. Are you not the Son of God? Well, I'm saved. Well, what does that mean? Saved from what? And so he challenged me. He stretched me. See, I knew this 15 years ago. God grows you, matures you by stretching you to the next dimension. You don't go to the next dimension by reading books and praying. Praying don't take you to the next dimension. Studying, obedience is what takes you to the next dimension. And that's how you get to the next dimension of God's intentions for your life. And I learned that phrase there. God's intention taking you to another dimension. And I had to admit to being quiet. And it scared me when he first told me that every answer I will ever need is already in me. It's already in me. Quit looking outside of you for an answer. But that's how I was conditioned. I prayed to a God to give me an answer. I told you I didn't know nothing about machinery. Help me out, David. Thank you, David. So he began to bring these new things to my life. Well, about that time, a dear friend of mine worked for the union. He was an electrician, licensed electrician. And he signed up at his union hall to be sent to Afghanistan. This was about 6 years ago. So he signed a year contract to go to Afghanistan to work because they pay him something like $200 a day. Oh, no, $300 or $400 a day, big time money, tax-free. So he flew from Atlanta into Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Dubai, Dubai into one of those tan cities in Afghanistan. Tan, say, everything over there tan, you know. So he got there. And the jeep from the army picked him up, carried him straight to the barracks. And the guy driving the jeep told him, said, now, go in, pick out a bunk, put your suit, do not unpack your suitcases, grab your tool bags, come on, get back in the jeep. We got a job for you to do. So he said, so we got in the jeep, three of us got in the jeep, they went straight to the barracks, which was really the head, where all the restrooms was at, showers was at. And the commander said, your job is to rewire this shower. We're having soldiers washing their hands, getting shocked. We had one soldier 3 weeks ago get electrocuted, taking a shower. Well, let's see what that family heard, how their son died. What's wrong with it? You're the electrician. It ain't supposed to happen. Dulo said, we went in there and we opened the panel box. And we went here. Okay, there we go. I'm a very simple man, Jacob and David. That's it. It's Mr. Wilbur's ill over here. Okay.
We're going to get you.
He said, so we opened up the panel box and it looks like a rat nest. The U.S. government had to hire Afghanistan to do the wiring. They couldn't bring in electricians. Hey, mad for you. Thank you. So one of them went back and asked the guy that brought them there, said, you ask what we need? We need a dumpster. He said, a dumpster? Yeah, everything got to be torn out. He said, we got to looking. They took lamp cords and using them for drop cords as connectors. It looked like a rat's nest. It was so messed up that the only way we could fix it would tear everything out and restart over. Your mind is God. God is your mind. There is, I told Mary today, and I tell all my clients, there is no Mary, God. God, Mary. Now, maybe you need to get to God. It's just God. It's just God. It's just God. I had a client of mine one time. He said, well, if I'm God, I can't say I'm God. I said, well, just agree. Would you agree with Jesus? Yeah. Do you have a Bible where you have red, Jesus speaking in red? Matter of fact, I do. Well, it's in red in your Bible. Jesus said, is it not written in your law that you're called gods? And that is Hebrew called Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, which is creator. He said, then Jesus said, in red in your Bible, and the scripture cannot be broken. That's like the calling of gods without repentance. You're gods. If you stop and think about it, not one thing on this planet Earth has God created since he created man. Man's created rest. Everything, get this, everything on this earth came out of the earth. As man's consciousness began to expand, light began to come. God is light. When God began to expand his light, consciousness in man, because the mind is God, man began to see how to dig it out of the earth, how to begin to use it, how to begin to manufacture it, how to begin to put it together. But most of our minds are like this picture right here, a rat maze. Now, if this had been in color, and I have it in color, different color wires. Who wired you up? Who wired you up? Why do you do what you do when you do it? Why do you think the way you think? Who conditioned you to think that way? Well, it started with mom and daddy. Then it started with aunts and uncles and cousins. Then it started at school and preachers and churches. And so after a while, we got such a conglomeration of all different kind of wiring, we don't even know what we are anymore. And meditation, yoga and meditation is helping you to get centered. Centered. Now, if you were to look at your, and Dr. David would know this as a medical doctor, and you would know this, that your center, they call it center of life, you have throughout your body called chakras, which is energy points, and up and down your spine. That's one of the great things about Buddhist religion, a Buddhist. They teach, their main teaching is getting detached. Charismatic's main teaching is getting attached. What can you get hooked to you? Main Buddhist is teaching people what to get detached from. That's why Buren told a group of people one time, I made a better Buddhist than I did a Christian. And I thanked him. Because again, we have become so attached. We've allowed everybody to put their philosophy on us, their beliefs in us. We bought in a little bit of everything. And what yoga does, not the kind of Golden Corral bar, but the real kind she does, It helps line up your energy point, your chakras, your body. Because see, you're spirit, soul, and body. And when they get aligned, see, there's two major things you always got to concern and judge your spirit by. Are you properly aligned? And are you properly related? You align with spirit, and now you're perfectly related with people. Now if you're aligned and related vertically and horizontally, you got the cross. Oh, in the hunter's world, you got the bullseye. There's nothing you can't hit, nothing you can't do. But our mind, we've become so cluttered. Muir and I was talking today, this afternoon, coming over here. And when people said, I just don't feel connected. No, that's spirit way of letting you know you too connected to too much stuff. You got too much junk. See, we're living in a day and age. We're coming out of now the age of information. We're on overload. Joey would know this. They asked Willie Mays one time about baseball. And he said, all I know is just keep it simple. I pick the ball up, I throw it, you throw it to me, and I hit it. And if you hit it, I catch it. Very simple. Very simple. We have complicated because we have got away from center point. Because I'm so afraid this is going to be not acceptable. And we wonder why the politicals is so correct today. The nation and the world is so politically correct. Because that's the standard we have set. Well, if you don't mention it just right, if you don't say this just right, then you can't be. Acts chapter 15, verse 1, the first century church, the first church came up with the first rule of the first church at the first council, Acts 15, 1. They tried to pass a law. Except you be saved, you cannot. Except you be circumcised, you cannot be saved. Notice that phrase. Except you be, you cannot be. And immediately James, the brother of Jesus, turned and said, oh, whoa, 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 boys, whoa. We ain't going that route. We tried it, we couldn't do it. And we ain't going to put it on the Gentiles. See, because man has always, a religion has always taught we're separate from God. Well, our sins separate us from God. Well, stop sinning. I can't stop sinning. It's because how you're wired. Why do you do what you do when you do it? Based on how you're wired. And what yoga does, it helps you to get centered. What Mary was telling us a while ago, she found herself when she centered herself up. That's called an epiphany. That's called an awakening. When all of a sudden, wow. And that's what we need. We need to get so unconnected, disconnected. Why do I believe what I believe when I believe it? Well, if I don't stand for something, I'm going to fall for anything. Who told you that? Who told you that? I posted something this morning. I know a lot of you, and I appreciate all of you that reach me every day. I have over 1,000 people read pretty much my post every day. Get hundreds of hits. Today I posted, it has been demonstrated over and over to us that the majority of all our painful emotion, how many have ever experienced a painful emotion? That's energy. Your emotions is your way of letting you know you got electricity going through you. It's your emotions, your energy. And if you suffered from painful emotions in which you have experienced, it is immediately, trace it back, preceded by some kind of interpreting a prevailing thought that you had. Everything comes from a thought. Now, I don't know what that family wrote home to the soldier that died getting electrocuted for taking a shower. Maybe he fell on soap. Maybe ISIS got him. But the truth was, somebody didn't wire that building right, that metal building right. And it electrocuted a U.S. soldier. Many of them got shocked. He said, when we tore all that wiring out and they hauled it off, he said, the next day at the mess hall, we got a standing ovation when we came in. Thanked us. Thank us. We now get the simplicity of this. We now can take a shower without fear of getting electrocuted. What if you could go through life not ever having fear again? You're going to fail. What if you went, anything you attacked, you went to do, that you're not afraid that you might miss it? See, so many people are afraid they're going to miss it. So what Mary is telling us here is get ourselves properly aligned. Properly aligned, connected to our internal core, our spirit. And when you get connected to that, then when you be quiet. I truly recommend the book, Dr. David Hawkins. He wrote a tremendous book on power versus force and the stairway to enlightenment. Dr. David Hawkins is a very smart dude. He has 2 medical degrees and 3 PhDs. He didn't go to Twiggs Academy. Very smart. Over 10 years ago, he took a year off of all of his practices, shut everything down, his clinics and everything. He wanted to see how loud God would get if he got quiet. And he cut off all communications. He went out to Arizona, around Sedona, up in the mountains area there. He went to the local town there, lined it up with one of the markers there. To come out once a week, he would leave a list, get what he needed. He didn't want no communication. He wanted a guy to come on Friday. The money would be there. Everything would be there. Get his list, bring it back next Friday, pick up the list. The money would be there. And for 1 year, he did not communicate with no human being. Every day. And he said, you'd be amazing how loud God become when you get quiet. When you get decluttered. When you just get silence. David wrote that 4,000 years ago. Be quiet. Be still. Be quiet. And know God. But the reason we can't hear him is because of how we've been wired. Who wired us? See, so often we think thoughts is just a thought. But usually every troubling spirit you have, you trace it back, you interpreted a thought wrong. In the electrical world, you mishandle the wire. And in this picture you have here, you got so much clutter there. Mary said something very interesting. You know, in the Security of America, how they, in Homeland Security, they have monitors that picks up chatter. And these guys have to interpret that chatter. How do they pick it up? They have monitors everywhere. Everywhere. How much of our... See, most of our prayers are just chatter. As I tell a lot of my clients, if you look into a God outside of yourself, you're praying to a God that don't exist. Not for you. Because the only one that exists for you is the one that's in you. You can't keep looking to a God out there that's somewhere. No, I admit God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's just as much in the pine tree as he is in the church. He's just as much in the cornfield as he is in you. But the God in you is just as great as the one in the cornfield. Because he's omnipresent everywhere. And you're connected. Because the entire universe is connected. You're connected. But to what? To who? And that's why this is so needed to learn to clear your mind. To clear your mind. So the first time I really got into meditation, within 5 minutes, I'm asleep. I said, Don, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go to sleep. Well, I'm going to let you sleep on there, buddy. Why? That's the way your body's letting you know, your system. The only way it can communicate to you, you're overtaxed, you're overwhelmed, is sleep. Go to sleep. And I said, well, I'm not all into that hum. You say it now. But after a while, he began to show me, what inspires you, Ralph? Name some things that inspires you. I said, well, music in the 60s inspires me. What kind of music? Steppenwolf. Mitch Ryan, Detroit Wheels. Tommy James and the Shondells. Let's go in your house. Let's go to your computer. Pull it up. Pull up some of the songs that inspire you. Meditate. Be quiet listening to Tommy James and the Shondells. Oh, that's sacrilegious. I can't. He said, you're missing the point. It ain't the words. You got to connect with the sound and tone that it makes. And the only way you will ever know that is to be quiet and quit saying, I know. Remember, you're the one believe yoga is at Golden Corral at the food bar. No. You gotta line your chakras up. You gotta line your energy points up. And that's when you begin to teach me through that mirror. That's why I'm so passionate about what you're doing. Because it's through what you're telling us now is what got me where I'm at today. It re-revolutionized my life from the inside out. I've been part of a religion for over 35 years. At that time, believed that everything is to come from the outside in. So I prayed to a God out there, up there, somewhere, to give me peace out there, up there, bring it in here so I have peace in here. I didn't know it was already in me. Because I didn't know how to tap into it. I didn't know how to tap into it. I didn't. I was telling Connie today, if we'd have had you in our churches, well, we probably would have thrown you out. But if we'd have had this in our churches 35 years ago, making this the major thing to learn in our churches, my God, where would we be today? Where would we be today? That's why this is imperative to fulfill the word Jesus said. Physician, heal yourself. And the first way to heal yourself is you got to learn to disengage. Get rid of the clutter. I have another picture. I usually show this to my clients. And this picture is how it's supposed to be. It's only three wires hooked up to a connector. Versus the picture you have here. See, that's the way it comes from the manufacturer to work. We carry stuff we got no business carrying. We carry guilt. We got no business carrying guilt. We're not a burden bearer. But that's how we wired. Who wired us? Someone gave us their opinion. And we took it as the gospel. And really makes it, my favorite preacher said it. So it has to be true. Preacher said it. Right, right. Why do you do what you do when you do it? Because how you wired. My biggest job and what I do, personal coaching, inspirational coaching, because I enter everybody. I don't see if they know Jesus or not. I look at everybody as they are Jesus. I'm just here to wake Jesus up in them. Because everybody has a button in them called an inspiration. And if that switch can be turned on, and it's only got two settings, high self-esteem or low self-esteem, somebody flipped your switch. From high to low. We got to get it from low to high. And when we do, you will begin to start acting different, thinking different. You will now begin to understand the importance of your body, physical, mental, spiritual. It all perfectly aligned. See, that's proper alignment. So I encourage you. Well, I don't know if I can go up and stand on one foot and holler, Well, fall and try it again. It's more to it than standing on one foot like a pigeon hollering, It's alignment. Well, I don't know if I can afford it. You can't. You cannot afford it to be without it for what it would do to you. See, if you're looking to come see me and you paying, you ain't going to get nothing. People come to see me because I tell them, now you understand, you ain't paying me. You got to see something in me you're willing to invest in. And if you invest in what I'm telling you, you'll get it. And I found out at this time, April the 10th, be 45 years in the ministry. When people pay for it, they have to get it a lot quicker than you give it to them. And what you're doing, you are investing for your future. You're investing for your sanity. Why do you do what you do when you do it? Based on how you've been conditioned to think. So, who wired you? Now, in this, I want to close with this. Do you think, how do you interpret a thought? Well, according to neurologists, we have anywhere from 25,000, 35,000 thoughts a day. And they can only be one or two, positive and negative. Now, when Solomon wrote this years ago, he said, life and death is in the power of the tongue. And they that love what they're saying will eat the fruits it brings. You know why we got so many sick people? Because they eat rotten words, negative words. And then this guy's, oh, I'm just kidding. Be like someone giving you a sardine sandwich with motor oil and say, I'm kidding. No, it makes you sick. That's why you got to be wired up right so you don't take this stuff personally. You don't take it. I mean, you will take what you're doing serious and purposely. Because if you think a thought don't come from nowhere and it just rattled around in your brain and went somewhere, it's a seed. It's a seed. So if you're going to be a seed, at least you choose what kind of seed it's going to be and you choose how you're going to cultivate it. And you choose what it want to be. Well, I can't think of all that. Person told me one time, that's hard to do. I said, anything hard to do if you ain't disciplined. Getting up and going to the bathroom can be hard to do. And most of us hold it as long as we can. Because we're too lazy to get up and walk to the bathroom. We're still holding out, it's going to come to us. It don't work that way. Anything is hard if you're not disciplined. So what are you disciplined at? And this is what Mary is trying so easy to tell. The importance of self-discipline. After all, you did want to be like Jesus. Amen? That's what he mastered. Jesus mastered his self-discipline. And from that came the Christ of God that made him God. So Mary, I hope everybody in here signs up for you. I hope your class is so filled on Fridays, you've got to start two classes. I really mean that. I really mean that. Especially that meditation, that yoga, getting aligned and meditating. What I did after 5 months with Vadam, when I started my coaching, I went and I looked up on YouTube and I found monks doing the And I found a segment that was 3.5 minutes. Oh, it just resonated with me, Joey. Oh. So I took it to my sound man at my church, my Jason, his Jacob. His name was John, JJJ. I said, John, can you put this on a tape for me, a CD, and loop it 10 times? So I have 35 minutes of it. Yeah. In a few minutes, he brought me a CD. There it is. It played 33 straight minutes. And every night, I was so serious with this. When I go to bed, I went to bed with Francis, Paco, Pascal, and my CD player. With the sounds in my ear. Listening. I go to sleep at night. Listening to. It didn't keep me awake. It put me to sleep. It's the most restful sleep. Because see, I'm always listening to what inspires me. And whatever inspires you strengthens you. But you got to declutter. Because until that happens, nothing will change. Okay? All right. How many would rather be here than be in the jailhouse and they got spaghetti tonight? I don't blame you. I had rather be here too. Thank you, Mary. I'm so proud of you. I am a believer in you. I want you to know. Thank you. Thank you for being awakened. It's in the awakening is the knowing. It's in the breaking that's in the knowing. It's when Jesus broke the bread that their eyes was open and they saw. Always in the breaking is the knowing. It's in that breaking. Amen. Okay? Good.